We do pray for those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones as the recent tornadoes hit in a number of states in the South, and the flooding now is also affecting Indiana, and how many people are in need and getting their homes repaired and so forth. So let's help out our fellow man as we have opportunity to do so, and certainly be available as needed. Well, our study this morning is entitled, Why Callest Thou Me Good? As we're going to be looking at Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26, and we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, and the initials PFE can help us do just that every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville, as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern which God has given us, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. We're very friendly. Something else to mention, if you're interested in studying the Bible together, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available if you would be interested in starting that. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments are appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. You'll find our radio sermons on there, and our bulletins as well, and other information. Now, we want to announce our gospel meeting is just around the corner. This is from April 25th going through the 27th. Our speaker is Brother Randall Jones of the Richardsville Church of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Brother Randall is a former preacher here at the Morgan Street Church of Christ. His good wife, Sister Linda, hopefully will be accompanying him. And we look forward to having an outstanding meeting, as the theme is Hope in a Hopeless World. Now, the meeting times are Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., then the worship service hour at 10:30. Following the worship service hour, a wonderful, delicious potluck lunch, a great fellowship as well, and then we'll close out the meeting on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. We look forward to having you with us, and let us know if you listen to the radio program. I'd sure like to meet you. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Why callest thou me good? As we go now to Matthew 19, we'll see the context of this question as we begin now in verse 16 of Matthew 19. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That was an excellent question that he asked. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Here's our question. And notice what Jesus said as he asked this question. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now he saith unto him, this young man, which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, that is, complete, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and saith unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, we need to ask, why did Jesus ask the young man this question? Why callest thou me good? Jesus knew the thoughts of this young man, but for his sake and ours as well, he asked him this question. Now, the rich young man had not given any indication of a love for money, but Jesus knew this was hindering him from putting God first. And if you study Mark's account, Mark chapter 10, in verse 17, we note that the young man came running to Jesus and kneeled before him, showing respect. Well, we need to point this out. Jesus knows our very thoughts. Look at Matthew 9, 3 and 4. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Jesus knows our thoughts. Notice Matthew 10, 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows how much hair we have or how much we don't have. And every one is numbered. So let's remember that. But here's the point. Jesus, by asking this young man, why callest thou me good, was wanting him to realize that, of course, Jesus truly is divine. He's God in the flesh. And the young man needed to see himself as God saw him. And then he needed, of course, to submit to the authority of Christ. Now, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. How are we going to do that? Well, we need to look into the, of course, mirror of the soul. Now, let's notice James 1, 21 through 25, and it will help us to see this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, get rid of that, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, he's looking into a reflection. And notice what he does. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He didn't make the corrections as he looked in the reflection. Perhaps he had some food, you know, on the side of his mouth. You know, when we sleep, what happens? The slobber comes down. and to be very blunt about it, well, that needs to be washed off. We wash out our eyes, you know. All that needs to be done. When we look in the mirror, we can see if we did it properly. Well, this man goes away and didn't do anything about his situation. So that is like this spiritual point as we go to 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the one that looks into the mirror of the soul, that is the Word of God. That's the perfect law of liberty. if we continue therein, we're making the corrections. We're not a forgetful hearer. We're not just hearing the word. We're being a doer of the word and the work. Then we're going to be blessed. You see, that's the point here, is it not? Now, here's another question. What is the world's concept of being good? You know, everyone who is accountable before God has done something that could be said to be good. Even Adolf Hitler. You could name other dictators, terrorists, mass murderers. They all could be said to have some good in them at some point. Maybe not much, but there was something during their lifetime that they would be able to be have that said about them. And man has many views concerning what determines who is a good person and who is not a good person. So that's how the world, you know, is having different concepts of who's good and who's not. Now, who can say that he's able to judge who is a good person and who's not a good person? Can I say that? No. What about you? Can you know everything about a person? No, I certainly can't, and neither can you. Only God knows all things. We don't see everything people do when they're not around us. They may be completely different. By what standard would one be judging who is a good person and who's not a good person? You see, that's the question to answer. So the true meaning of good can only be given by God, because only God is good. As Jesus said unto this young man, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And this is also in Mark 10:18, Luke 18:19. So the point is, when someone is said to be a good person, what is actually meant may be different than that which is actually conveyed. No one who is accountable before God is without sin. Both Jew and Gentile must obey the gospel of Christ to be saved. No one can earn their salvation by being good. That's what we need to see here. Of course, we know in Romans 1:16-17, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration to the Church of Christ at Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith," that is a system of faith, "to faith," that is our individual faith, "as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Are we living by the word of God? That's the question. Because if we're not, we're not just. You see, and we're not good, no matter how many things we have done that we would think was good. That's what we need to see here. So we ask this question now: who is worthy of the death of Christ? You see, this young man thought that by doing some good thing, what do I lack? What do I lack yet? You see, he's wanting to know, what good thing can I do to secure my salvation? And Jesus told him to follow the law of Moses, which he lived under, but to be perfect, he would need to come and follow Christ after removing his love for money. That was hindering him, of course, from being saved and continue on as Jesus would set up his kingdom, the church, the Church of Christ, and then he would need to, of course, be a faithful member of the church, having obeyed the gospel. But now we go to Ephesians 2:8-9, because this will help us in clearing up the question that we're looking at. Again, is all these people who have done good deeds, saved lives, and died in heroic situations, as we started out or studying. Well, notice, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Notice that. But we are saved through faith. What kind of faith? A dead faith without works? No. We're going to see that. But this is what we're centering on right now. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is works that are excluded. Note that. Excluded works are those of merit. Well, so would, of course, works of the flesh. That's certainly not going to be included works of the law of Moses. We're not under that law. We're under the law of Christ. That's excluded. So if one has done good deeds, that's works of merit. You see, that's what we're talking about here. That's excluded. All those good things you could name over and over again, that's excluded. Because we're not saved like that. No, sir. And now, because you have excluded works, that doesn't mean that works are not a part of our salvation, as some teach. No, we're going to notice included works as well. So we must obey God's commands. Now, that's included works. That's works of righteousness. In James 2:24 through 26, this will clear this up. You see then how that by works a man is justified. So this is included works, isn't it? That's going to be works of righteousness, doing the will of God, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that had sent them out another way. And then they told her she was to put out a red cord from her window, which she did and obeyed. And her and her household were saved when they came and destroyed Jericho. She became a proselyte, and she's in the seed line of Christ, having married an Israelite. You see, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is works of righteousness. Included works. That's what we need to be able to discern here. Excluded is trying to earn our salvation doing good deeds. No, sir, that's not going to get it. Now, Cornelius, here's an example to look at, because he was a very good man in the eyes of the Jews. Well, Acts 10, 1 and 2 declare that. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Very religious man. But you see in Acts 11, 13 and 14, he being a religious man, well thought of by the people, was lost. Yes. Notice that Simon, whose surname was Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He was saved when he obeyed the gospel, not being religious and having all these good deeds that and giving alms and all those wonderful things, but he hadn't obeyed the gospel. And so he was lost until he did, and his household as well. Now, here is what I really want to emphasize in our study this morning. As we've talked about, you know, again, doctors saving lives and mothers dying for their children, all our soldiers who've died heroically in battle, which we do appreciate every one of these things, of course. But if they could be saved without obeying the gospel, you know what that would mean? If people could be saved by good works alone, then Jesus would not have had to die for our sins. But he did. He did have to die for our sins, because those good works, those things that we've talked about, do not save us. That's right. It took and takes the blood of Christ to wash away this rich young man's sins and our sins today just as well. So we certainly want to point this out. God is worthy of our obedience, is He not? Yes, He's worthy of our obedience. You see, this young man, he went away sorrowful rather than angry. He had some respect for Jesus' authority, but he trusted in his riches rather than putting his trust in God, who was speaking to him. And you see, one cannot trust in riches and God. In Mark's account, it's pointed out, verses 24 and 25. You can see that. Let's go ahead and read that. Mark chapter 10, 24 and 25. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. In other words, you cannot do it. You trust in your riches, you're not going to go into the church of Christ. You see, that's what is being said here. Yes. So let's learn that lesson. And the love of God should motivate us all to love God and obey Him. Certainly John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. And this young ruler loved his money more than he loved God. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do it. Now let's notice 1 John 4:16 through 19, and we'll see here what applies as far as the love of God to our lives today. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. Yes, he certainly did. Those people that we may think of as being good, they must humble themselves and do the will of God, just as we must put God first and obey him. Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. And verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus made it clear. Not all religious people will be saved. They may be looked at as good people, very sincere in their belief. But Jesus said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we do not do the will of God, we're not going to be in heaven. You see the point? Matthew 15:13, this is Jesus. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So we must be in the body of Christ to be saved. All the false churches are going to be rooted up because they weren't planted by the Word of God. You plant the Word of God in an honest heart, you're going to reap what? A Christian. Not all the different denominational names, but simply a Christian. Jesus died for our sins. We're not worthy of His death. Of course not. God's great love. Look at Romans 5:8-9. Study Hebrews 5:8-9. these passages reveal to us again how God has provided the means of our salvation because of His love for us and what Jesus was willing to do in our place, taking our sins upon Him. So what about us? Have we obeyed the gospel? Are we allowing someone or someone else, something or someone else, to keep us from putting Christ first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have we obeyed the gospel of Christ? If not, we stand ready to assist you. We have to hear the truth. Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Certainly in John 8:24, the evidence is there. We must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3-5. Yes, make a change of wills and ready to do the will of God. And now we're ready to make the good confession, which is unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Bear this out. Once we've stated, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, we're ready to be baptized, immersed, buried underwater, to contact the precious blood of Christ, symbolically, of course. But this is the command that God gave us. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16, and on we could go. We need to go under the water in order to be buried into His death. When Jesus shed His blood, it was in His death. Look at Romans 6:3-6. Study that. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, the church of Christ. Yes. Acts 2:47, that's the day the church began. Now we need to remain in the church, faithful, even if it would mean our death. We'll have the victory. We can go forth and live a faithful Christian life, adding the Christian graces, glorifying God as we seek to live in accordance to His will, by His will, and teach the truth to others. Defend the truth. Never turn it loose. Buy the truth and sell it not. You see, as we've studied this morning, why callest me thou good? Only God is good, isn't it? Isn't that the case? And we need to be faithful in the Lord's church, standing on the truth, regardless of how many people do not accept it, and certainly pray for our enemies even, and those who are lost, to have an opportunity to obey the gospel and do what we can to help them shed the false teachings that have taken people away from the truth. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We thank you so much for listening today.